world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome in to the Sunday Side Sessions. That feeling you have right now, that used to be normal. Nebraska used to win, and you used to wake up on Sundays and think, okay, what's next? And that's what's happening today. And what's next for you, since you're listening to this, is Jake Sorensen from Early Break joining us on the Sunday Side Session to break down Nebraska's win against Indiana, to walk through his Twitter feed. All sorts of fun will be happening today. Jake Sorensen, how are we doing?
You know, like you said, Schaefer, it feels pretty good to have a Sunday where we're talking about a win and the positives of that. So I'm doing pretty well. Nice to get a win against Indiana, a team that we had circled before the season as a likely win. Maybe it wasn't that way as much before yesterday for fans, but they did it. So give them the win, 1-1 in conference play, and we'll see where things go from here.
Yeah, if Jake, if you had to condense yesterday's game down into just a couple things, like what two things sort of stand out for you coming off of Nebraska's 35-21 win over Indiana?
Well, I think I'd start first with what my biggest question was, I think most fans, was what would the defense look like? I mean, this is a defense that looked horrible, frankly horrible, the first four games. And last night, they gave up less than 300 yards of offense. I mean, Indiana scored 21 points. Only 14 of those were from the defense, because the other seven was the sack in the end zone, resulting in the fumble by Chuba Purdy. So I think that giving up 14 points to that offense, less than 300 yards of offense, and only 14 first downs was remarkable. You saw a new cornerback, Hartzog, out there, a true freshman that replaced Tommy Hill, which I thought, well, he looked pretty good. He also got a touchdown on the block punt. So, I mean, Schaefer, I just thought, even though it was sloppy with the penalties, 12 penalties for Nebraska, 11 for Indiana, I thought all three phases of Nebraska's game looked pretty good: defense, special teams, and offense. They all had a little lull once in a while, but overall, I think you saw a complete game, and that's why you saw a 14-point victory, because all phases were complementary, which we have not seen for quite some time.
So what I always find kind of interesting when Nebraska has these sort of performances, they come out and they play well, they come out and they finally kind of look like the team you think that you were going to get most of the season. What do you think's repeatable? What can they carry over from this game, take with them to New Jersey, take with them to West Lafayette, take with them throughout the rest of the season? They still have, what are we looking at here? We're looking at Nebraska has 7 games left on its regular season. What's repeatable in your mind? What do you think they can bank on as they move forward these next 7 games?
Well, I think a couple things, Schaefer. I mean, I think people said going into that game last night, hey, can we make this an Anthony Grant game? Can we make this a running game? I mean, he had 32 carries, right? 30 in the 30s for carries last night, which we have not seen in a long time for running back. You got to go back years, it feels like, to see a running back with that many carries in a ball game. I want to see the top running back get hot, and maybe AJ Allen's absence with the injury allowed that to happen. We did see Gabe Irvin still a little bit last night, but I thought Anthony Grant was able to kind of get on a roll, and so that's repeatable if he stays healthy and if the line continues to block well. But I tell you what, I like the picture too. I mean, we'll see what they do. I like the picture of Hunter Anthony at right tackle. I think when he was in there, he looked pretty good. And so we'll see if that's something that they continue with instead of Bryce Benhart at right tackle. But I mean, they can repeat defensively. Just they seem like they're in their assignments. They were sound. So all the confusion we heard about, and maybe the, you know, just lining up in the wrong spots, not being gap sound the first 4 weeks. I didn't see a defense that was like overthinking last night. They were truly playing just smart and simple football and weren't giving up the big play. And I realized that Cam Camper didn't play for Indiana. That was a big loss for their top receiver, but they did what they had to against what they were going against. So I don't know if this team can stay consistent, because we still don't know how good they are overall. But I think number one, you know, keep feeding Anthony Grant the ball. Let that guy get hot and open up, you know, the deep ball for Trey, as you saw a couple of times. And I think that can be repeatable.
Nebraska ran the ball 51 times yesterday. Yeah. I would not have guessed that if you were just like asking me at the start of this show here, hey, how many carries do you think Nebraska had as a team? Yeah. I would have thought probably more about 38 to 40, but yeah, it's 51 times for them. It wasn't the greatest average. I mean, there's a lot of losses in there. Casey Thompson took some big sacks,
right,
that basically really sort of negate, or the intentional groundings or whatever it was, that kind of negate some of the total rushing yards. But I'm with you. I really feel like Anthony Grant can be a bell cow for Nebraska. We saw last night they loaded him up in a way that, you know, Dedrick Mills has had a couple games like that where I think he had like 28 carries in 2019 against Iowa. Divino Zigbo, I don't know, ever got to a number that high. I mean, I think you'd be going back to Amir Abdullah at that point, where you're just loading a guy up. But I think Anthony Grant can be that kind of running back. And I don't know where you're at with it, Jake, but I have quite a bit of confidence in individual pieces on Nebraska's offense from those skill position players. I mean, I spent all offseason sort of being skeptical about if Trey Palmer could be a number one wide receiver. I feel like that's been answered here 5 games into Nebraska's season. I mean, this is a guy that he and Casey Thompson find ways to kind of hook up on important downs and important moments. I mean, that 71-yard touchdown last night, basically at the beginning of the fourth quarter, really kind of snuck up on people. Mm-hmm. Like, it happened so fast. I don't even know that the stadium sort of reacted in the way that you would expect with just that huge sort of noise. It was almost like a, wait, that just happened? Kind of thing. So I really like what I'm seeing out of Trey Palmer. Obviously, Anthony Grant, I think, has been a revelation for this team, and has been since August, the first game they played, and really for these guys since spring. I think they knew pretty quickly Anthony Grant was going to do special. And then he got randomly benched, and inexplicably benched, quite frankly, if you're me. But I think Casey Thompson's been good for Nebraska. For a guy who basically knows once a game he's going to get absolutely knocked out or borderline knocked out because his protection is that bad, he holds onto the ball a little long because he's trying to wait for receivers to get open or to try to make big plays. I know that, you know, sitting next to Michael Brunson in the press box, he wishes he would have scrambled a little bit more in some of those situations. But I look at their skill position players, and it's just like, if they can just get a few other things to where they need to be, you know, on defense, on the offensive line, I think Nebraska's talent is fine. I think they can win with these guys. And I've come away just sort of impressed by how all three of them, none of these guys were on Nebraska's roster on December, whatever, when things sort of flipped over to 2022. And for them to come together through 5 games, your leading rusher, your leading passer, your leading wide receiver, and they're all guys that, you know, could put up pretty good numbers if the team starts playing in the right direction. I mean, I've just been really impressed by the offensive skill guys this year.
Yeah, I go back to what you're saying about Casey getting pulled. I mean, I thought that was kind of weird. I mean, we've seen weird things at Nebraska, especially putting your quarterback in at his own, 8-yard line.
Yeah, I'm fine. Like, if you want to play the whole, we wanted to get Chubba Purdy snaps, I'm fine with that. It's just a weird time to put him in at that point in the game and just at your own 8-yard line. Sorry, yeah. I'll let you go.
No, I thought that was a little weird. But again, we've seen some weird decisions by Nebraska over the last couple of years. So I guess that just lumps them in. I mean, it didn't kill them. That play killed them. They did get the touchdown in the end zone, unfortunately. But to your point about the guys who are new, I mean, yeah, Trey Palmer was great. 8 catches for 157, a touchdown, the long 71-yarder. Like you said, Schaefer, I mean, at that point, the conversation in the crowd before that touchdown was, my God, this game is never going to end. Penalty after penalty after penalty. I mean, that third quarter took forever, and there was no points scored in the fourth quarter, in the third quarter. It was, unless that was late in the third, that touchdown. But regardless, it just took an eternity because there was laundry on every single play. So that was the conversation about who's going to win this terrible, sloppy game. But Nebraska came up on top. And like you said, Palmer's a big reason why. Casey had some nice deep throws there. You know, I thought kind of a sneaky play in that game that was important for Nebraska was, you know, the great interception. Was it Reimer that had the pick that was kind of on the guy that was on the ground? And then Casey threw the pick the next play, but that was at the 1 yard line. So you kind of, you know, obviously you want to score that job, but you pinned them at the one, so they couldn't do anything really much with that. But no, I'm optimistic. And I think you were kind of curious, hey, what would look different in these games following the, you know, the firing of Scott Frost offensively? And we had not seen much of Oliver Martin before last night. Or had we this season? Three catches for 65 yards looked pretty good. You know, Marcus Washington had 2 catches for Nebraska. So I like their skill guys. Like you said, it comes down to, as you and Bruns mentioned, you know, can Casey get rid of the ball quicker? Can he maybe scramble once in a while? And obviously, the question is we've had all year long is can the line protect? And I thought even though they gave 4 sacks last night, at certain times, the line looked pretty solid.
Yeah. Well, one of the things they did, and this is, you know, if you want to talk about what's a little bit different in 2022, I think you've seen more in-game coaching adjustments that have worked out for Nebraska than what we saw in the previous few years. And one of those adjustments wasn't just a personnel thing. It was, all right, we're finally going to acknowledge if we just drop straight back, it's not going to go that well. Yep. So we're going to just start rolling Casey Thompson. And they started rolling him out in the fourth quarter, and it went pretty well. I mean, yep. I don't know that that's a strategy that you can employ for an entire game, though we did see a pretty young Derek Carr do it against Nebraska for Fresno State back in the day, where every single play he was just rolling out to the right. And I mean, he had a big day at Memorial Stadium. They didn't win. But, I don't know if Casey Thompson's going to be doing that, but – getting him on the move a little bit, I think, is helpful because just those straight dropbacks just feel so dangerous at times. Yeah. And it's not even necessarily the 4 guys up front bringing pressure. It's that I, Jake, have no confidence that whether it's Thompson, whether it's Trent Hickson, whether it's any of the offensive linemen, I just don't think they ever know where the pressure is coming from. Like, they just have no feel for it. I mean – and Indiana was blitzing from deep spots and still getting home. I mean, it just there was a lot going on there. And offensive line and offensive protection is going to be, you know, a conversation through the rest of the season. But I did like the wrinkle of rolling guys out. You mentioned Oliver Martin. He had 3 big catches. Every one of his catches was an important moment for Nebraska. I mean, obviously, the first one was an absolutely beautiful touchdown. Third play for Nebraska from offense in the first quarter. And then he had 2 other catches, I think both for first downs. I think one was a critical third down, and then another was, you know, helped him move the ball in the third quarter, or in the fourth quarter. So, you know, he's a guy that has a lot of talent. He just sort of disappears for long stretches, you know, throughout his career. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. Because yes. Isaiah Garcia-Castaneda hasn't been healthy. He wasn't playing yesterday. You know, Marcus Washington's been a really nice third or fourth wide receiver for Nebraska. But if they could have a guy that sort of can play opposite of Trey Palmer and give you some production there, I think that would be really helpful. Let me throw this at you. How much of Nebraska's defense last night looked better because they simply tackled better? One-on-one situations.
A ton of it. I mean, yeah, I mean, there was a couple. I remember one particular, I think Isaac Gifford had a really, really good open field tackle that was like, dang, that was, you know, we've been missing that for a while.
Was it when they threw it to Nebraska's sideline on like a quick sort of play out in which, you know, when Northwestern did it, someone would overrun the play and that guy would be running for 20 yards?
That's one play that stands out. I'm like, dang, I mean, that's exactly it. That's a play that in these other few games that a guy overruns it, misses the tackle, goes for 20 yards, and you know, here he goes a first down. You know, that was a negative play there for Illinois or Indiana. It was either zero or negative. And that was a great play by Isaac Kiffert. But that happened a couple of times. You know, they were simply tackling better. This is going to go to the conversation that people will say, well, you know, now they're tackling in practice. Of course, they're tackling better. I don't know where people stand with that. But I can tell you that, yeah, to answer your question, I mean, a big part of this was you didn't see a ton. You know, there was a few missed tackles still. I mean, you're never going to have a perfect game. But there's the play. I think the guy juked out two Nebraska players. I forget who it was, and it was going on the sideline for Indiana. But, yeah, I mean, they were sound in their assignments. Didn't really see many busts at all either. Maybe a few, but not many. But, yeah, they tackle well. So, absolutely, it's a big reason why the defense looked better last night.
Yeah. Another thing that I thought super valuable for Nebraska, Garrett Nelson had a big impact on this game. I just feel like so much of the first four games of the season was waiting to see more from O'Shawn Mathis and Garrett Nelson. And Nelson in particular, with Mathis, I never really knew what to expect. But Garrett Nelson has had stretches where he's been Nebraska's best defensive player at times, or at least the most disruptive. And it didn't feel that way at all through four games. It felt that way last night. I mean, he had the two sacks to lead the team there. I think he had a hurry. I mean, he was just in on a lot of plays. Nebraska had five hurries, I believe, yesterday. They had eight pass breakups. It just felt like what I thought Nebraska's secondary could be coming into the season and Nebraska's, you know, defense against the other team's, you know, pass. If this felt more of what I thought we were going to see out of Nebraska than certainly the first four games, and especially that atrocious, it's going to look even worse in 5 years, lost to Georgia Southern.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. They have not won since that game, I don't believe. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, you could build off of here. And this is why we kept saying, Schaefer's, that, you know, this team has potential. But can they get a little more discipline, which did happen in penalties, but in terms of the way they played defensively, they were more disciplined in the assignments. And so if they had lost last night, I just don't know how you get the belief in the team that, you know, you can go and win at Rutgers, win at Purdue, because you just lost potentially one of your more winnable games on the rest of the schedule. And so the fact they won, absolutely. I mean, you go to Rutgers now. Rutgers has not been very good the last couple weeks. They got blown out by Ohio State, which is not a surprise, but they did. You know, Iowa beat them pretty handily 2 weeks ago. That game seems a little less intimidating than it did maybe a few weeks ago. I mean, certainly it's a road game. The road games are tough. But Nebraska's last visit out there was a win a couple years ago in 2020. So some of those guys are still on the team that experienced that. But if you beat Rutgers, Schaefer, I mean, now you're 2-1 in conference play. You're back to
500.
I mean, you're back to 500. Purdue had a nice win yesterday against Minnesota, but I mean, O'Connell's kind of banged up. He did play in that game. If he's not healthy, you got a chance there. And I'm not trying to look too far ahead in the future because it's one win, but you just can't get that confidence if you lose that game last night. So they won. You saw the post-game celebration was awesome. They were chanting Mickey in the locker room. I think it's a team that's pretty cohesive right now on the same page, which I'm not sure it was for the previous four games of the season. But I'm curious where a team that appears to be hungry can go. I mean, it had kind of the look of a team like one of those Illinois teams of the past that was trying to find its way to win, which I hate comparing to teams that are not good, but Nebraska is trying to learn to win again. They just haven't won at a high level for a long time. And just seeing that elation and that togetherness, you can make some noise and cause some damage if you continue to play sound football and become kind of the pest of the West, I suppose.
Yeah, yesterday was very much a balm for sort of the burn that you felt for Nebraska's season so far this year. Nobody in the Big Ten West looks unbeatable. You know, every game on Nebraska's schedule, save for Michigan, feels like if they play a certain way, they have an opportunity to win. It didn't feel that way coming into Saturday, but you saw, I mean, Minnesota's human. They've got injuries. They've got concerns. They may not put up a lot of points in Big Ten play. Wisconsin looks like as bad as maybe we've ever seen.
I've never seen them that bad.
I don't want to call Illinois world beaters, And do you know why? They lost to this Indiana team earlier this season,
yep,
proving that they aren't necessarily incapable of stubbing their toe. Purdue, a team that I was pretty high on coming into the year, have two very close losses in the fourth quarter, and they play a different brand of football than what we've come accustomed to with Purdue. But that game's in a couple weeks. We'll see where things are at. And then, yeah, I mean, I've always sort of viewed this stretch as very critical for Nebraska, regardless of how things went before or after it. But you have these four games in October against teams that traditionally you expect to win against. If you can go 3-1 in this stretch, and it didn't matter how they started or how they finished, you're going to give yourself an opportunity to potentially, you know, go to a bowl game. And if you go 4-0 in this stretch, then we really can start talking about a November that, you know, has some real potential to be explosive. But you're 1-0 now. You got to get to 2-0. Like Mickey Joseph said, 24-hour rule. You can enjoy it, and then we got to get back to work. I don't even know if he's giving them the full 24 because it's a shortened week. Maybe they only really get 12.
Friday then, game, you know, right?
Right. So they got to get back rolling. So we'll see how that looks. All right. I haven't done this on the Sunday side session before, but we're going to do something new here.
Okay.
I am going to pull up the Jake Sorensen Twitter feed, and we're going to walk through some tweets last night. And you're just going to tell us what you were thinking in that moment, and we'll just sort of discuss it. It is going to be a podcast version of the Jake Sorensen watch, a beloved Twitter meme that is no longer really in existence. I tried to bring it back yesterday. Didn't work that great.
Did you do one last?
Yeah, I did. I don't know that anyone noticed.
I don't think I saw it.
It was in a barrage of – they probably threw the touchdown pass like immediately after.
Okay. All right. I missed it. Okay.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Here's what we got at I'm going to try to timestamp these as much as possible.
All right.
At 6:47 p.m., which I believe was like 20 seconds after Nebraska scored their opening drive touchdown.
Okay, this could be
Jake Sorensen tweets. And if you want to follow Jake Sorensen for the full experience, it is at 93.7 Jake Sorensen. So be sure to do that. Great follow. You'll get more Dolphins talk than you ever thought possible. It'll be, and then if you're around for Nebraska basketball season, it's just a double dip of glory right there. So here we go. 6:47. Okay. Say what you want about Mickey. His energy is incredible, though. How can you not get jacked up to play for that dude? What were you seeing here? Walk us through it.
Well, I'll take you back. That was after they scored the touchdown. I can take you back in time. I mean, this is not – I don't want to take a shot at any previous coaches or, you know, whether it's in this –
You can take as many shots as you want because based on the numbers, not that many people are listening.
Okay, fine. Mickey just is a guy that, you know, he gets jacked up. Like, I like a coach that's got some rah-rah. Now, I know people bash P.J. Fleck for having that. You know, he's an intense guy. But, I mean, if I was a player and my coach is just like – just give me a hug and come run down the sideline to come congratulate me. I want to fight for that dude. And Mickey appeared the whole game to have that resolve. And I just love that kind of demeanor from a coach. You know, I mean, I go back to bring the Dolphins into play. And there's years ago that they had a RIP. Tony Sperano was a guy that was just, you know, fist pumping all the time, jacking guys. I mean, getting guys all pumped up. And I love that. That was awesome. So coaches that really, you know, show the emotion and show that to their players, that's what Mickey does. And I love that. And I think if you're a player, like I said, it's how could you not get jacked up to play for that guy? I truly mean that. So that tweet was for sure in the right state of mind.
All right. I'm pretty sure you know what this one's all about,
yep,
too. Almost an exact hour later, I believe, at 7:47, we get an all-caps special teams with 3 exclamation points. You weren't expecting Malcolm Hartzog to score a touchdown on a punt block there?
No.
Nebraska's first punt block for a touchdown since Justin Blatchford in Waco in 2009?
No, I wasn't.
That caught you by surprise, Jake?
It did. I don't get surprised very often, as Sip likes to point out on the show. But I was surprised. And what I was surprised by was anybody blocking for Indiana on that play? Because there's like 5 guys got through the line. So Kolarovic blocks the punt, and then Hartzog picks it up and goes. It was a great call by Nebraska to bring the house there. But I was like, who's blocking for the Hoosiers? There's nobody here that's even allowing any sort of problems for this. Like, 3 guys could have blocked that punt. But I was impressed. It was a good moment to go up 21-7 at that point. Obviously, the Hoosiers still tied up 21 all at halftime. But no, that was sweet. We haven't seen that for a long time. That's the kind of stuff that Iowa does when their offense sucks that changes things. And I hate being like Iowa or comparing to Iowa, but man, they just do the stuff that pisses you off when you're playing them. Like last year, they did the same thing. They were down by 15, got the block punt. Nebraska's still leading, but the game was effectively over at that point still.
All right, so on tweet 1, we had a PJ Fleck reference. On tweet 2, we had an Iowa reference. Very excited to see what happens here on tweet 3. 30 minutes later, 8:17. Not sure I've ever seen a player have a personal foul on back-to-back plays. Damn, man. All right, Turner Corcoran, what was going on there?
Well, I got to tell you, I stand by that. Have you seen a guy ever get back-to-back personal fouls in the game? 2 different plays back-to-back?
No one comes to mind. If anyone did it, it would be an offensive lineman. And if I was watching the game, chances are it was a Minnesota Viking. I don't know which offensive lineman could have done that. But I saw that Jay Foreman informed you that he wants to accomplish this in the NFL. So
I guess it happens there. Well, I think my favorite part about that was the way the ref was like kind of like talking like he was a kid, like because of his actions, number 69 has been ejected from the game. That's what he said.
No. You didn't even get it right. Because of his own actions, number 69 has ejected himself from the game. As if he has this button that he presses that shoots him up out of the stadium. He's been ejected.
I thought it was incredible. Just quote by the ref, Mike. I was laughing. I'm like, wow, I've never heard it said like that before. But okay, yeah. Turner. And then you saw there, Mickey Joseph got in his face too. So he's pissed about that. So again, Mickey, rah-rah coach, but also he'll get in your face. So, but I stand by that. That was something I have not seen, at least in the college level at Nebraska, maybe ever.
All right. At 9:12, 55 minutes later, the aforementioned referees had clearly taken over this contest. As you tweeted, refs in this Nebraska-Indiana game, : And then we get the "I'm the captain now," Jim.
Well, it felt like every play or every other play, there was a flag called. And as I mentioned, the longest third quarter in the history of college football was in play there. And maybe they're all legitimate. I don't know. But, you know, if I'm a ref, I don't call a flag every time I see something. I'm supposed to. But we don't see that very often. You see 23 penalties in a football game. Yeah, I just thought it was kind of the ref show in the third quarter. Really did, Schaaf. Really did.
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing I can add to that. It was horrendously officiated. When I saw the crew I never pay attention until they like zoom in on the coin flip, and I saw the white hat, and I was like, the first thing I thought of was the JoJo Doman interference call against Michigan, which still ranks up there among the most inexplicably poor calls I've ever seen. I didn't even think about disconcerting signals. I didn't think about how Cam Jurgens got a personal foul for playing through the whistle against Oklahoma.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
I like so much. That crew should be banned from Nebraska games, not because of their own ineptitude, but because Nebraska fans shouldn't have to experience them. But I guarantee that we're going to see him again at some point this season. And I don't know when that's going to be, but hopefully it goes somewhat better than whatever the hell that was. All right. So following the what movie is that from? Captain Phillips?
Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks, yeah.
This was just 7 minutes later. So something had popped up here. Jake Sorensen at 924. This is just a horrendous football game.
I can take you to that moment in specific. I mean, I believe both teams, you know, again, flag, back and forth. I mean, you've just seen so many, what, third and 22s and second and 18s because of flags on first and second down. So I think at that point, I was just sick of nobody really doing anything because the flags were crippling them. I mean, there was no points in the third quarter at 21-all. It was truly a terrible third quarter for both teams. It was a bad football game until Nebraska pulled away in the fourth. So that was definitely after Nebraska probably failed to achieve a first down on third and 22 and got 3 yards. And they're just like, this is just awful. This is just so bad for both teams who are getting roughshod here today. And yeah, the offenses aren't doing much. The defenses are just not having to do much because the offensive flags are helping them out. So that's why I tweeted out it was a truly horrendous football game. Yeah, the fourth quarter was much better.
So for those that don't know, up in the press box, they have their own PA announcer that always gives a down in the distance and tells you who made a tackle or, you know, the result of a play, that kind of thing. And he was struggling in the third quarter because there was such weird distances on these, like, second and third down. And there was one point in time where, like, there was an incomplete pass, and he's just kind of like, yeah, it's going to be all right, third down and eight. No, third down and 23.
That's what I mean. It's just an abomination of a football game in the third quarter.
Right. So, I mean, terrible. Even the PA announcers were finding yesterday's contest to be a little bit ridiculous. So, all right, one last one here, and we'll finish up with this. Nebraska matches the amount of conference wins they had all of last season. How many more are they going to get? How many more, Jake? How many more wins for this Nebraska team?
Here's the deal. I mean, like you said a little bit ago, this October is gettable. I mean, what Rutgers is not a scary game. It's a road game, but it's not scary. Purdue, depending on how, you know, O'Connell's health is, it's scary, but it's winnable if you're right offensively and get right defensively too. Illinois, like you said, you know, earlier, they're not world beaters, but they're good. Brett Bielema has them playing hard. I got a stat for you on that one, Schaefer. This shocked me. This shocked me. Yesterday, Wisconsin against Illinois had 24 carries for 2 yards.
Yeah.
Wisconsin. So they have a formula to say, we know Graham Mertz sucks, so let's make sure they run the football and they can't.
You know what that formula is? That formula is we want Graham Mertz to drop back as many times as possible because our team's probably going to have as many catches as their wide receivers.
And he wasn't wrong. I think they were stacking the box with 9 guys and they couldn't do anything.
You know that strategy is employable against about every Wisconsin team we've ever watched because they have to have, other than Iowa, they have to have the worst possible quarterback play.
I don't understand. And your boy, Alex Hornibrook, there was no difference in that as well. He was certainly the same
not my
problem.
Point.
No, I think, you know, honestly, as long as they keep playing well, if we keep building off this, you can snap some ugly streaks. I mean, you can snap a long streak of losing to Iowa. It depends where you're at mentally at that point and where they're at, if they've improved. Wisconsin, we just mentioned, that's as winnable as it ever has been. They look awful. Their defense is in shambles. Their offense sucks. You got to win that game this year. It's in Lincoln, right? That game's in Lincoln?
It's in Lincoln.
In Lincoln. We got to beat Wisconsin. In Michigan, yeah, that's probably a loss on the road in Ann Arbor. But but hey, Minnesota was human yesterday. If they tend to slip a little bit and then you get a little – again, if you're on a heater, you've lost, I think, 3 straight games to those guys as well. So let's end 3 streaks. Can we do that? I hate to get so much confidence after one win, but, and I'm not going to, but But I think that it's for the taking. If they can follow this up with a couple wins here and really experience, hey, this is what winning feels like. We like this. Let's keep it going. So
yeah.
They can probably get to, if they play well, they could probably get 3 or 4 more wins in conference play. But I'm not going to say they will. They could. Yeah.
I think I feel pretty confident that they're going to win at least 2 more games. And then after that, it's kind of a matter of, can they take care of business against teams that have sort of tormented them? Yep. So we'll see sort of where those things land. But overall, I feel like Nebraska's in an okay spot. I mean, if they go take care of Rutgers, the conversation's going to get really interesting. For you, we'll finish on this specifically, because I got accused last night because I tweeted something about Trev Alberts being an AD, a coach would want to play for. I got accused of focusing too much on the coaching search.
Okay.
So I wanted to keep this at the very end, and I want to keep it Mickey specific. What do you think has to happen for Nebraska beyond just like ripping off 5 wins for Mickey Joseph to really kind of cement himself as a real candidate in this job?
Well, I mean, number one, like you said, the wins are the biggest thing. If he wins a bunch of games, he's going to be an actual, he should be a top candidate.
And that's the obvious one. Like, I mean, you're not going to make him your head coach if they go 2-10.
No, he wouldn't. I would say this. I mean, even going back to last night, you can blame the refs or not for this, but, clean up the penalties. There's a lot of those that were actually, they were legit. They probably all were legit.
Oh, yeah.
They always get called. 12 penalties for over 100 yards. I mean, you're not going to win a lot of games with that. I mean, Indiana had a lot of penalties too, but you can't have that many penalties. You can't and win the game. They won, but you're not beating Iowa with that many penalties. You're not beating Wisconsin. You're just not going to do that. So I would say if you can clean up that, see a more disciplined team that's not getting personal fouls, it's not, committing a bunch of holding penalties or untimely pass interferences on 3rd and longs, that kind of stuff can help him and Trev say, hey, we're actually seeing in-season progress with this stuff. That's a key. And if Bill Bush's defense looks like it did last night, I mean, 14 points allowed to Indiana with 7 by the offense on the strip sack. I mean, that's helpful. That's showing that I saw something, that I need to fire a coordinator. I'm going to put this guy in this position. I'm going to trust him. And if it looks at least respectable the rest of the season and they win some games and the defense looks competent, then yeah, he's going to have a chance besides just the obvious of the wins. But number one from last night, in terms of a negative, you get clean up the penalties. That's got to happen. You're not winning many games with 12 penalties.
All right. It is an NFL free Sunday for you if you choose to go that route. How are you? Yeah, the Dolphins played on Thursday. They unfortunately suffered their first loss of the season.
Yeah, I hate Thursday night football.
They'll be okay. I'm not real worried about it. It's just a small blip in the radar. What are you doing of your Sunday today? How are you spending your victory Sunday?
I'm gonna play golf later this afternoon. It's supposed to be a good day. I'll probably still watch NFL, just for the sake of, I love watching NFL and fantasy football stuff, but it's so much more fun on a Sunday when you've actually won on Thursday. You can just kind of take it in. That's why it stings, because I'm just have to relive my loss now, knowing that I got to hope the Bills lose to the Ravens or the Patriots lose or the Jets, all this kind of stuff. I can't control my destiny today because we already lost our game. It's just,
you can never control your destiny.
It's painful. It's painful. I personally control the Dolphins destiny.
The puppet master, Jake Sorensen.
That's me. No, I'll probably watch NFL, play some golf this afternoon, and just enjoy the nice day. But it's going to be nice to not have to sulk and find ways to discuss why Nebraska lost another game. They won. They won the game. We're on a 1-0 streak right now, Schaefer.
1-0 streak every week.
October is off to a great start.
Yeah. Every week, Nebraska's looking to just go 1-0.
1-0.
That's all it is. That's all it is. All right, Jake, we appreciate your time, as always, here with Husker 24/7. I will see you and talk to you on Thursday. People can listen to that. They can listen to Early Break every day of the week, should they choose, from 6 to 8 a.m. on 93.7 The Ticket out of Lincoln. But Husker 24/7 will be back with more podcasts Next week, we'll have our Husker 24/7 podcast. We'll have a Husker 24/7 hype cast that'll get you fired up for some football in New Jersey, the birthplace of college football, Piscataway.
Yes.
So Husker 24/7 will get that all going. For Jake Sorensen, I'm Mike Schaefer. I'll catch you next time here on the Sunday Side Session.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.